Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God. I don't know, but today seems kinda odd. No barking from the dog, no smog. And mama cooked the breakfast with no hog. I got my grub on, but didn't pig out. Finally got a call from a girl I wanna dig out. Hooked it up for later as I hit the dope. Thinking, will I live another 24? I gotta go, cause I got me a drop top. And if I hit the switch, I can make the ass drop. Had to stop at a red light. Looking in my mirror, not a jacker in sight. And everything is alright. I got a beat from Kim, and she could do it all night. Called up the homies and I'm asking y'all, which part are y'all playing basketball? Get me on the court and I'm troubled. Last week messed around and got a triple-double. Freaking brothers every way like MJ. I can't believe today was a good day.
Born. Congratulations, you didn't ask for it, but here you are, gasping in a world that's been running on autopilot for centuries. Innocent? Ha, hardly. You've just been tossed into a system that was built long before you existed, by people who apparently thought, hey, let's set this up so our kids and grandkids can struggle forever. Sounds fun. Now, sure, a few people manage to make it. They climb out of the mud, buy a yacht, and post motivational quotes on Instagram. But statistically speaking, that's not you. Why? Simple. The system. The grand invisible babysitter of humanity. Its main function? To keep you obedient, confused, and just productive enough to keep the lights on, while you stumble through mistakes that make other people rich. And the programming starts early, really early. Before you even know your times tables, you're being slotted into the great machine. Preschool. Daycare, yup, training grounds. From age 4, sometimes earlier if both parents are grinding away at jobs, you're spoon-fed the rules. By high school, you're deep in it. 4 years of technical training if you're practical, 6 years of theory if you're book smart. Either way, you're learning about the mitochondria being the powerhouse of the cell, but not how to file taxes, understand credit, or, I don't know, survive life. Between 13 and 17, your hormones are basically running the show. Testosterone, estrogen, chaos everywhere. Teachers still expect you to sit quietly and memorize algebra, while nobody bothers teaching you about things that actually matter. Money, marriage, parenting, or what to do when you wake up drowning in student debt. But hey, at least you know how to label the periodic table. And why is it this way? Because thinkers are dangerous. Workers, on the other hand, perfect. John D. Rockefeller, yes, that Rockefeller, literally said, I don't want a nation of thinkers, I want a nation of workers. And boy, did he get his wish. Make it to university and congratulations, you're officially baked into the system. Most graduates step off campus with a shiny diploma, a mountain of debt, and zero clue how to land an actual job. Welcome to the real world. Please enjoy your panic attacks and unpaid internships. Then comes the big one. The work system trademark. The script says buy a house with a 30-year mortgage, get a car loan, maybe finance a shiny kitchen. You'll feel like you own things, but spoiler, the bank owns you. The system pats you on the head and whispers, good job, you're free now, while tightening the leash. But here's the kicker. Nobody ever asks the obvious questions. Whose planet is this anyway? Who drew these imaginary lines called borders? Who decided this hamster wheel is the only way to live? And why do we all keep running in it? The future? Oh, that's the best part. Totally uncertain. Most people don't want to think about it because it's exhausting, but honestly, maybe we should. Something has to give. The real question is, who's going to spark the change? Until then, sit tight. Keep swiping your credit card, paying your taxes, and pretending you're free. After all, the system is counting on you.
But I'm richer. You thought that I'd be sad without you. I love harder. Your girl Evie in the building. Welcome back to Evolved by Evie's episodes, where I am coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. I want to give a big shout out to Inglewood, Watts, Crenshaw District, and Leimert Park. I also want to give a big shout out to Suave Gonzalez for giving me this opportunity today to speak with you all. I know you are listening on this beautiful Friday. Thank you for tapping in and tuning in. If you are tuning in again, I want to say welcome back, family. We are going to be talking about truth and where truth meets healing. So, our last episode, we talked about Martin Luther King having a dream. Right? So my name is Yvonne Bergen, and today's episode is another one that sits close to my heart. This one is called A System Designed for Us to Fail. I'm gonna let that sit in, y'all. A system designed for us to fail. It's nothing that we can, I'm not going to say it's nothing we can do. I'm going to say that the system was already in place. It was already designed for us to fail. It's a lot that we can do, and I'm going to talk about it. So I want to ask you a question. What happens when you're born into a neighborhood where the odds are already stacked against you? Now, you might not be able to read or write. You haven't even gotten in school yet. You don't understand money because you don't have a job yet, right? Because this is, we're born into this. Coming straight out of the womb, no idea of what we are about to grow up into, the type of society, all the standards that are designed and set up against us to fail. In schools, we're not even taught about money. We're not even taught about credit versus debit. We're not taught about how to become business owners. It's a lot of different things that schools don't teach us about. We're not even taught about what a system is. So that's why I wanted to highlight a system designed for us to fail. Because for me, I'm not speaking based off of theory. I'm speaking based off of lived experience. And for me, just like I cannot argue with a person's belief systems, is the same way that I cannot argue based off of a person's lived experience, because that is their own testimony and that is something that they have experienced. So for me, I grew up in South Los Angeles, Crenshaw District, aka the hood. I went to Dorsey High School. That wasn't the best high school. I didn't grow up in the community with the best resources. You know, I grew up around gangs. I grew up around liquor stores, weed shops, smoke shops, unhealthy grocery stores, libraries not up to date. Not really any museums or community centers around in my neighborhood, no trauma recovery centers, nothing that I felt that I could benefit from now that I'm thinking about it right now. And when I looked around as a kid, I didn't see that much opportunity, even jobs. Like how I said, when you're a kid, you don't really think about, you know, going to work, making money, getting a good education, growing up in a healthy, safe neighborhood. When I say healthy, I mean grocery stores. When I say safe, I mean not having to worry about getting shot at based off of a different color that I have on. You know, for me, growing up in Cali and going to, growing up in Los Angeles, California, going to Dorsey Susan Miller High School, yes, I was very terrified when I was first told by my mom, you have to go to Dorsey High School. It was between Dorsey High School and Crenshaw High School. And I knew what I had heard in middle school about high school. I was scared. I was terrified. I was like, you know what, Ma? I'd rather do Dorsey than Crenshaw, because at least with Dorsey, I don't got to worry about having to get into a fight every day. You know, that's what I heard about Crenshaw. You go there, you're gonna get jumped. You gotta worry about fighting and all this and all that. My mom went to Crenshaw and she graduated from there. I did not want to go there. She not the one that told me that. Other people told me that. But going to Dorsey, I was told, like, you know, you might have to worry about becoming a gang member, fighting and all this and all that, but not every day. So I was like, I have better chances here. I don't know why I thought that, but I was like, I have better chances here. I didn't have a choice because when you come from middle school, based off of your jurisdiction, so based off your zip code and the area that you live in, the middle school tells you which high school you have to go to based off of the neighborhood that you come from. So I was told that I had to go to Dorsey High School because I lived in the jungles. And it's called the Jungles by Crenshaw District. Let me just say that. So I was like, dang, like this is not that much opportunity for me, you know? And so thank God I didn't join the gang, but I hung out with a lot of people in gangs, different gangs. I'm not gonna name them, but we know in LA, yeah, it's gangs everywhere you go. And you have to be careful for certain colors that you put on too, because if you wearing the wrong color in the wrong neighborhood, you have to worry about getting shot at. And if you do get shot at, now you gotta die. Now you're gonna die. How I said, my brother didn't have a choice. He didn't have time. My brother died on 68th in Hoover. Okay. And that's everybody that grew up in LA know what area that's by. I'm not gonna say too much. But yes, it's a lot of gang violence, gun violence going on out here in LA. And so growing up as a kid, that was all I was handed, all of those things in my community. And I saw patterns, I saw cycles, and I saw a system that was broken. And it didn't feel broken, it felt intentional. Like this was put here like this on purpose. Even just by the time I got to high school, I was taught a white man brought crack cocaine to your black and brown community, and now this drug is still surfacing in the different communities, right? Like, you know, so in my community, that's all I saw was a lot of homeless people, like on drugs or under the influence of alcohol. Why? Because that's all that's given to us in our communities. And if a person is homeless, I understand some people say, oh, you have a choice to get up every single day and do drugs and stand out there and beg for money. But I do, how I said, believe it is a psychological thing that was passed down to us to believe that that is okay to live a certain way. Right? Like being homeless in my community, it's okay to just be drunk and high because what's in the community? Alcohol and weed. Shops. That's already there for a person that is struggling to say, you know what, it's easier to just do this versus a trauma recovery center that's right there that will take me and help me get the mental help that I need. In order to go stay at a shelter, to get some clothes, to get some substance abuse counseling, to be able to go to this job interview, to be able to keep this job every day that I have to get up and go to and be mentally stable for, to be able to work every single day, to then get a paycheck, be able to sustain my living by being able to pay for all of the things I need, like body wash and clothes and food. So it's like I said, it's a system designed for us to fail. Growing up in the hood, you're not really dealt with good cards. When you grow up in the hood, you learn early that life isn't dealt equally. You have some kids that are born in neighborhoods with tree-lined streets, updated schools, libraries on every corner, and grocery stores with fresh food. In my neighborhood, liquor stores on every block, weed shops and smoke shops everywhere, low quality grocery stores with overpriced and unhealthy food. In my neighborhood, we ain't got that many libraries for us to properly educate ourselves. We don't have many safe parks that we can go to exercise and not have to worry about getting shot at, or for our kids to be able to play safe in the park. Like a kid is supposed to. we don't have that many after school programs where kids can be watched and don't have to worry about their mamas and daddies working. And then guess what? They go to the park and they get jumped in a game. That's what happens. Instead of an after school program, they have to worry about being able to go purchase marijuana and alcohol and these vape pens that these youth is smoking right now. Like I said, I work at a middle school. Middle school kids smoking vapes or smoking weed pens. I didn't have to worry about that growing up. These kids are growing up faster than what they're supposed to, as well as social media having certain things for the kids to see with death and pornography and all types of stuff. Kids are having access to so many things that are not healthy for them. It's ridiculous. And it's advertised. So yes, a system designed for us to fail. How can you not do what you see when you're growing up? And that's all you see. That's all that's available to you. So then it starts to shape your belief of what actually is possible for you to get and what you should and shouldn't be doing. People always ask, how come that person don't just do better? But they never ask, why are these communities given less to begin with, less resources to begin with? Then don't even get me started on the school to prison pipelines. How I said, I work at a middle school. So not only do you have the teacher kicking the kid out of class for behavioral problems that the kid probably doesn't even have an IEP for, because that's all IEP is, an educational plan for someone with behavior problems. I work with a kid that had autism. Okay, so I understand what an IEP is. So the school to prison pipeline, where you go to school, the kid gets kicked out of class. Now the security kicks the kid off of the premises. Now the kid is on the street selling dope, smoking dope, or doing Lord knows what. And then guess what happens? The kid either gets arrested and now is in jail, or the kid is dead because they got killed for gun violence or for drugs. But 9 times out of 10, that kid gets arrested. And now because they weren't in school, because they got kicked out of school, what happens? They go to jail. Then with jail, once you're in the system, how I've told my juvenile hall minors that I've worked with at Los Padrinos. I worked at Los Padrinos as a credible messenger. And I told them, the system is designed for us to fail. Since you're in here, when you get out and you hang out with your friends, if y'all commit a crime, the cops are not taking your friends. They're taking you because your name is already in the system. That's the way the system works. So, because I was a kid that was in school, it didn't feel like a place that was safe for me to be a part of, and it wasn't helpful for me to grow. It felt like preparation for punishment. Over-policing on campuses, zero-tolerance policies. So I say you're getting suspended, right? Or expelled. Then suspensions instead of support. Counselors replaced by security guards. One time, my minor at the middle school ran out of class crying, trying to go to the restroom. She got yelled at by the principal for not having a pass. When I talked to the minor, she simply stated she was having a learning disability in class and she was embarrassed. She wanted to go to the restroom to cry because she had no one that she could talk to about it. And instead of the principal taking time to ask her, why are you running out of class? The principal yelled at her and made her cry more when she just simply needed support and counseling. So if the principal would have grabbed the security to come and escort the young lady off the campus because the young lady doesn't want to be in class simply because she's running from the embarrassment of a learning disability. In elementary, I was diagnosed with dyslexia. I was so embarrassed. And when I got home, I got my ass whooped for not learning multiplication in the fourth grade because I couldn't learn based off of my mental disability with dyslexia. I want y'all to think about that. I didn't have a choice that I couldn't understand how to learn. I just needed to be taught different, not get my ass whooped. That's the thing about schools. Instead of trying to meet the kid where they are, they just deny them, or they tell them to just go. And it's a fucked up system. And that's the problem. And that's why it's called the school to prison pipelines, because the kid isn't asked, what do you need? The system simply asks, how can we control the kid? So now the kid, if the kid went into the system, say for instance, the kid went into juvenile hall and they had to grow up in juvenile hall, look at who they had to raise them. The people in juvenile hall, the probation officers. Now, if the kid ends up going into the community and then getting sent to prison, now who's raising them? The people that's in prison. So it's set up that way. Now, this kid was transitioned into a man and had to grow up faster than what they needed to grow up. So it's more of control than help. And when you're black and brown, it's easier to get pushed into that system than it is to get pulled out of that system. Not to mention mass incarceration. My stepdad went into prison. So my stepdad started off in juvenile hall, right, as a teenager. Then, how I said, he went into prison at 22 years old. He is 62 now, and he's been in there 40 years. That's 40 years of a life taken. He is on LWOP, life without the possibility of parole. So that's 40 years of us separated from family, 40 years of trauma passed down to him and to us, because we have to deal with whatever they inflict on him while he's in the system. Thank God this has not happened to my stepdad, and I rebuke it. It's not going to happen to my stepdad. But I've known some people who have went in a juvenile hall. Some of my minor girls that came in there one way and left out another way based off the medication that they had to take in the system. I watched some people go into prison or the county and come out a whole different way based off of the medicines that they were given. I watched some people go in the hospitals, some mental hospitals, and go in one way and come out different based off of what the system gave them. Probably gave them a test from a rat for a human. So the system is messed up. Some people just say, oh yeah, he could just do the time and come home. But they don't talk about how hard it is to get out of the system once you're in it, especially if you're black or brown. The prison is not punishing just the individual. It's punishing the families, and it's most definitely destroying the communities, because people need trauma recovery. People need mental help. It's not always about just locking somebody up and letting them, you know, and throw away the key. It's not about that. It's about helping that person. What did they learn from what they did? Maybe they couldn't deal with the pain or the anger the way that one individual can. That's why everybody is different. Every human being is different. And that's why I'm breaking stigmas, because I want to talk about all the different barriers and all the different things that people deal with. That we still have government assistance. Government assistance has the most stipulated, impossible rules that I've ever seen a system inflict on, like pain on one individual. And I do believe that the system, the government, is messing up families. It's separating families. You have programs like EBT that exist, and it's helping people survive. But survival isn't the same as stability. The system, government assistance, tells single mothers that are raising children to be under basically surveillance constantly, where they tell the moms, don't make too much money, don't work too many hours, don't even get married, and don't change your situation too fast. stay under this government assistance. So if you can't make too much money, you can't go to work, you can't be with somebody that can help you, of course you're not going to be able to change your situation because you're oppressed. And then if you do try to change your situation, now you have to worry about losing help. Then you have to where that person is being trapped in a cycle. So the system says we'll help you, but only if you're still struggling. Only if you're still struggling. How is that really help? My mom has always told me, not all help is good help. Not all advice is good advice. And her telling me that, I don't receive help from everybody. I don't receive advice from everybody. I don't even let everybody pray for me. No, you cannot touch me and pray over me, because it could be negative. You could be trying to manifest something negative over my life. So no. Because I'm building myself up every single day, bits and pieces. I'm educating myself every single day. That's why I brought up me having a dream like Martin Luther King, because I see something for my Black and my Brown people. I see something for my Indigenous people. I see something for the human race. Because this system was set in a place for us to fail. Everybody that's up under the system, they want them to fail. And how is that help? It's not. It's not help and it's not support. It's control. Then you got dumbass people like Donald Trump in power right now, messing things up for people who's underneath that system of government assistance. Where he comes into office and now he's cutting these programs that are helping low-income families, that low-income families are depending on. Not to mention he's cut out or attempted, well, okay, no, he cut out 988, which is the suicide hotline. I think the hotline is back up and running. I know one of my friends told me it's back up and running. But I know there was a time where Donald Trump recently just cut out 988. And it's like, what if somebody is going through suicide and you're cutting out all these resources and programs that can help people to be mentally stable? Then you're cutting out programs for food that these single moms, they have no choice but to depend on that program. And now you come in the office and just cut it out. These programs that can help for housing, even Section 8, healthcare, Medi-Cal, and then food, access to food, EBT. When it's the most detrimental time in life, even with the wildfires and all these different things, him sending ICE. Then him trying to tap back in with the racial part and send people, quote unquote, back to places that they never even come from. That's the kind of leadership that we are up under as a people. And that leadership, it doesn't just hurt feelings. It creates real harm to people. That's why I said there's two things I don't argue about, religion and politics. I watched that guy, Christopher Kirk, one of Donald Trump's alliances, got killed on camera because he said that Black people, I think he's going to let them kill themselves with gangs or something. Like, it was some stupid, ignorant comment that he made. But because people wanted to not let him have freedom of speech, but they killed him. Mind you, we still have Donald Trump walking around. Well, not walking around, but doing whatever he wants to do. And it's harming people. It's really, really harming people. And it's not a joke. It's real life. You have policies that decide who eat, who gets health care, who has housing, and who survives based off of race, based off of qualification with degrees, based off of how much you make. It's so many stipulations that comes from the system. When what we actually need in our communities is possibility. not just problems. We need more jobs that pay living wages, updated libraries with technology, right? Because we're in the system or the era of the Zen G with the technology. I don't know if I said the Zen G right. I'm not sure. But I know we're in the modern day time with technology now. And so we need more libraries that can give us that updated technology, the resources, right? So because education is important. We need more recreational parks that are safe, that are accessible, that are clean, that are up to date, because exercise is key as well. I believe everything goes hand in hand. It's mind, body, and spirit. We need more trauma recovery centers for healing. We need more historical museums that can teach us about who we are and where we have come from in our cultures or even in the different communities. I stay right in a community where they have Nipsey Hussle, Slauson area. They have Nipsey Hussle's mural up. Why? Because he's done stuff in that community. He's had a clothing store in that community. He's given back to the community. He did music. He was a rapper, right? They also have Kobe Bryant, different murals, Martin Luther King, even certain streets that are named after certain people for a reason, because this is history and history should be taught to our children. Recovery should be taught to our children. They should learn and be educated on who they are and where they have come from. Because when people know their history, they stop believing that they come from nothing. They stop being hopeless. They have more hope than hopelessness. Because for me, healing is not optional anymore. It's necessary. I value healing. Because now I didn't used to have hope. Now I have hope. I promote hope. I promote peace. And I want to break the cycle. I want to break the stigma, break the system, break the chains. Like that gospel song says, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Lord God is doing it with me. Because despite everything that I've seen, I still believe in hope. I believe in peace. I believe in rebuilding. Rebuilding. Because I've seen what happens when someone finally gets support instead of punishment. When someone is believed in instead of written off. The system may be designed for us to fail, but we don't have to continue to accept that design. How I said, I'm not where I come from, meaning I'm not what has been set in place for me to fail. I'm not going to be a failure. Because I believe that life is 10% what has happened to us and 90% is what we do about it. And I'm going to keep saying that because I'm a big believer on talking about the solution more than the problem. I don't want to keep talking about problems. I want to talk about solutions with those problems. Yeah, I can talk about my mental stuff, but I talk about how I combat my mental stuff as well. And instead of me, because I don't want to be so quick to say we and us, because somebody might not agree with what I'm saying. So I'm going to say me. Instead of me keep trying to complain about it. That's the word I'm looking for. Instead of me keep trying to complain about it, I want to challenge it and I want to change it. Because I can create something better for the next generation. That's why I'm working in a middle school. To help the younger kids than me. That's why I've worked in Los Padrinos Juvenile Hall to help those girls that are 16 through 18. In the middle school, I'm helping the girls that are 10 through 14. So I've always told people, I'm just the bridge. I tell the older generation, I'm the bridge for y'all to the younger generation. I tell the younger generation, I'm the bridge for y'all to the older generation. I'm bridging things together and I'm closing gaps. As I do come to a close, I just want to say thank you, everybody, and anybody listening, for taking the time out to just listen. For taking the time out to see, do I resonate with this? And if it does, if this episode does resonate with you, please share it. Please like, please subscribe, and please comment. Talk about it in your communities. Question the systems that are around you. And if you're from the hood like me, know that you are not broken. Your community is not disposable, and your story does matter. Your story matters. Share your story and be who you are. I love everybody. I want to thank y'all for tapping in, tuning in. Once again, big shout out to Suave for giving me this opportunity on this platform. Please feel free to follow my different platforms, same social media handle, Evolved by EV underscore, that is on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. If you're located in California and you would like to sponsor me, please reach me at 323-943-0086. Your girl, Evie, out the building.